Jesus' name. And somebody say, amen. All right, I'll start reading at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Zion, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land, and begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be anguished because of thee. We're teaching on the subject, receiving your inheritance. Receiving your inheritance. Well, you know, this is all good. My goodness. Whew. All right. We ended our last series with love, and we found out what love's got to do with it. That love has everything to do with it, because without love, the faith doesn't work. If the faith doesn't work, you can't defeat the enemy, because the only battle and fight you're going to ever get involved in is a fight, good fight of what?
Faith.
Good fight of faith. So we found out that love is the key way that you walk with God and that you keep his commandments, and that it's very important that we keep love first. Also, we found out that you must develop your faith to stand against opposition as you go in after the redemptive promises that were given to us through Jesus Christ. So there are promises all in this book, and they're your promises, but you have to take them. And we found out that faith is the only guarantee that you'll receive your possession. Faith is the only guarantee. So you need to learn faith. You need to find somewhere that's teaching faith, and then get there and learn about it. Learn how to operate in faith, because faith, we found out, is your profession. I know you might be a doctor or a lawyer or Indian chief, but faith is really your profession. It's the way you get things done. Just like a mechanic needs a hammer or a wrench, or a carpenter needs a hammer, you need faith. So we're developing faith, and we're finding that every possession comes out of conflict. Every possession comes out of conflict. So if you want to possess your health, you're going to have to fight for it. You want to possess your wealth, you're going to have to fight for it. You want to possess your marriage, you're going to have to fight for it. So faith is the thing that you need to fight with. But faith always shifts the battle from your hands to God, because faith is what we call a rest. Let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 1. Pardon me, Hebrews chapter 4. And over in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, let us therefore fear means believe, that lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, faith is a way you access works that have already been finished. And he said in the previous verse, go back there, he said in the previous verse, verse chapter 2, he said that the word preached did not profit them, not being what?
Mixed
with faith. Say mixed.
Mixed.
So how do you mix it with faith? Well, you hear me preaching. You hear me preaching, and I'm your preacher. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 talks about me as how then shall they call on him who they've not believed, and how shall they believe on him who they've not heard? Well, how can they hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? I've been sent to you to preach to you the gospel. But the problem is that the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. So if the more reasoning you apply to the gospel, the further you get away from the supernatural. The more reasoning you apply to the gospel, the further you get away, human reason, from the supernatural. So what happens is, as his word is coming in, we need to understand that when I preach the gospel, I put it up on the board, and the word of God is true. Is true. And we said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4, he said, well, what if some did not believe? Shall the word of God, he's putting it up on the board. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none without effect? Let me say that again. For what if some did not believe? Because the people who God was trying to go in didn't believe it. And because they didn't believe it, they didn't go in. Not that it wasn't true, but because they didn't believe. And he said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? He said, God forbid. Yea, let God be what? True. And every man, everyone else, be a liar. Now, he is saying here that this gospel that I'm preaching to you is true. And as you hear it, remember, don't try to reason it. Just receive it. Say amen to this. And just receive it. And faith comes how? By hearing and what? And hearing by the word of God. So as I preach it to you, you take it and speak it yourself and hear it, faith is coming for it. So you lose faith in something that's not true, and you gain faith in something that is true. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, now, the word has everything you need in it. God, that's God's way, I think, of making us self-sufficient. So I say you have to put the word of first place in your life, because this word has everything you'll need in it. For example, sickness. The word is a healer. The word is designed to bring healing to your body. Over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, he says that my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my saying. Now, what does attend mean? You ever seen somebody and they say, hey, can you come over here with me? He said, no, I got to attend to something else right now. Well, what it's saying is putting it in a higher priority than what other things exist. He said, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life to those that find them, watch this, and health or medicine to all their flesh. So they're medicine to all their flesh. The word is medicine. Now, how did we believe? Because what happened over in Numbers chapter 13 in verse 30. Let's just look at that real quick. I'm going to use that as a jump off place here. He says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And look at the next verse. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Now, that was two reports looking at the same thing. One of them said what lined up with Scripture. The other one said what lined up with the flesh and natural reasoning. Say amen to that. Who did the people believe? All right? They believed the people who preached unbelief. Now, why is that so? And I kind of been doing some thinking about this. I believe when you come, when people come out of unbelief, if they're not fully converted, sometimes it's easier for them to believe what they've been brought up learning than something new that God is trying to teach them. Does this make sense to you? All right, now, it's kind of interesting here because I did a little research on my own trying to kind of understand some things. And what happened is this book that I was reading had to do with radical Islamist. And I was just trying to read, somebody sent it to me, and this particular person converted to Christianity from jihad. And so I began to look at it and kind of see what this particular person was writing about. But he was saying that that hatred develops like drug addiction. And he said, first they learn to throw a stone, then they learn to throw a Molotov cocktail, and then they learn to throw a bomb. And he said that he was born and raised in the West Bank, and he was told to hate the Jewish people. And he said he was taught that by his teachers, by his parents, and by his community. Now, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just telling you what he writes in a book that he went through. Then he said he knew nothing else, so he believed what he was taught, that it was the righteous thing to do, to grow up hating them. Now it talks about it's the same thing that Hitler taught. Now I want you to see this because they were brainwashed and had faith in something that wasn't true. It wasn't God. Now, are you with me here? So he is saying something about it. He said he knew nothing else because he was taught nothing else. Remember that. I remember that I went to seminary and I went to a class. It was a New Testament class. And I'd gone about six times, and it was a lecture class, so it had about 300 people, or maybe 150, I don't know, a lot. And so I noticed during the class, we never seem to talk about the Bible. But all right, now let me preach this, okay? But we never seem to talk about the Bible. That we are always talking about somebody's theory. And I, about the sixth time in the class, I came and talked to, I said, Dr. So-and-so. I said, when are we going to bring our Bibles? Open them. He said, well, thank you, Mr. Winston. And then I left. And he came back the next time. He said, from now on, bring your Bibles. He said, because we're going to go through the scriptures as we uncover these truths. Now, understand, the motto when I was there at the school in seminary was, get the learning without losing the burning. Now, y'all follow that? It means don't lose your fire. So next thing I know is that we start, you know, in the Bible, but he came up and he constantly reminded me, thanks for pulling me back on track. Now, I want you to, this is interesting here because I wrote this down. This is what the guy said. I knew nothing else. They didn't show us anything else. They showed us constantly the films that they wanted us to see and constantly what they want us to see because they want us to believe one thing. And if you go and look at the people who are customs agents or whatever and see their training in catching counterfeit money, you will find they never show them all the counterfeits. They don't show them but one thing. The real. You don't need to be shown but one thing. The real. And what has happened is all of this other has been preached. Got it? And so now the real is in doubt. And one morsel of doubt can cause the real not to work. And the next thing you know, people say, well, that's passed away. Well, that's not here anymore. We go to the doctor now. Go on to Mount Sinai. You don't know, anoint with oil. That stuff won't do any good. No. So what has happened? They getting radicalized. And we are getting lukewarm. We're going away from the way we should be. I'm talking about the way that Abraham had to get in front of folk and say, I'm a father of a multitude. And he and Sarah, she's a mother of a multitude. And she couldn't even have kids. I'm talking about when you take Joshua or tell him, march around here seven times. I remember I took the whole church over to North Avenue and marched around the building. I said, we're not having service this morning. We marching. I remember it. I remember when I told a lady, here's the oil. Go pour it all down the street and the devils will go. I'm talking about what has happened to the church. What has happened to this fire that the church once had? Somehow, we've been eating bad food. And you eat bad food, you will do what the food dictates. And I'm telling you, he said, I know nothing but what they showed me. And they didn't show me anything else but the word. But that stuff they were trying to brainwash him with. Nothing else. And I'm telling you, I get up here and start reading pure word and tell you that we can lay hand on the sick and they will recover. Some people get up, some walk out, I tell them, wait a minute, you can have them debts paid off by this time next week. We can have that. There is nothing that can stand against the word of God. I can tell them, if you got a cold, you take this word, read it once in the morning, read it at night, say that scripture the next day, say it the next day, and you will see that the word will go and attack the sickness and it'll go away. It'll have to. But something has happened. We're too cool for the gospel. That's got to stop. And that's why the devil is pushing darkness like Chicago having all these murders. That's why. What we preaching. In that same zone where you got all the stuff, there's about 4,500 churches. What is up? I tell you what's up. We need to be radicalized. We need to not because of hate, but because of love. We need to make it so that when people see you, they're going to either want some prayer, they're going to want something. They're going to say, boy, that's one of them Christians right there. You mentioned a Christian supposed to be rich, and many people get up and walk out. Well, that's one of them prosperity preachers. Honey, nobody representing the kingdom of God should be broke. Nobody, 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 nobody. We're begging for money and trust. We got to stop this. This got to stop. Yeah. I am responsible for giving you the word. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not the truth you hear, the truth you know. And you got to make up your mind, let God be true, and every diagnosis be a lie. And you got to take this word and attack that diagnosis. This, folks, this is the same word. When God saw darkness, he saw an earth that was formless and void. He said, let there be light, and it was light. This is the same word. When Jesus saw a fig tree that was bearing no fruit, he said, there be no fruit on you hereafter forever. And that tree dried up within 24 hours. This is the same word that came to Mary. When Mary said, they said, you're going to have a baby. And Mary said, a baby? Yeah, you're going to have a baby, and the baby's going to be God. And that same God is going to save you. She said, be it unto me, praise God. Man, this is what you need to have. The days for us dragging along some kind of a weak boy, afraid, won't stand up, won't witness, won't do nothing, won't even put your hands up, praising God. The day for that stuff is over, man. We gonna be radical for the kingdom of God. That's all I got. I'm out of time. Give God praise. I've got a lot of here, but that's all you need to hear today. You need to get your little narrow self up out that seat and start praising God and act like you got some sense in the kingdom of God. Give God praise. Oh, the devil don't want a church that's on fire. But this is a church that's going to be the church. That's going to be the church. That's going to be the church. You going in to get your possessions? Everything that he's stolen is coming back to you this year. Say amen. Your health is coming back. Your kids are coming back. Your money is coming back. Your jobs are coming back. Come on, you're here. Everything is coming. Now give God praise. Take your seats. No, that old-time religion ain't good enough for me. We got to take our communities back. We got to take our young people back. We got to take our cities back. Watch this, and got to take our nation back. If you're here and you're in this congregation, and God has spoken to you about being born again, I want to get you saved. I understand you're not getting into something weak. You've been there.